Okay, hello everyone. Thank you for joining us this morning. My name is Susan Himmel and I'm the Health Promotion Specialist Knowledge Broker at PTCC and I'll be moderating today's webinar. If you're having trouble logging onto the webinar via the Microsoft link, please call the 1-800 number for PTCC. That number is 1-800-363-7822. A reminder that you can also access your backup version of our presentation deck if you are having difficulties on the link that was emailed to you, and you can follow along with our webinar today. We're currently recording this webinar, and please be aware that we will be posting the recorded webinar on our website shortly after the call. For many who are logged onto the webinar, you will see the presentation on your right. On your left side of the screen will be our chat box. This chat box is public to everyone, so whatever you write will be posted and viewable by all of those in the webinar, as well as myself and our presenters. During the webinar, we'll be pausing to take questions after both speakers have presented. But please feel free to enter any questions in this box, and we will try to address as many as possible during that question and answer. Because of time constraints, we may not be able to get to all questions, but we will try to answer a good variety. I'd like to introduce our first one of our speakers, Dr. Robert Schwartz. He's the Executive Director of the Ontario Tobacco Research Unit, or OTRU as many of us know it, and Associate Professor at the Dalhousie School of Public Health, University of Toronto, with interest in research, evaluation, and knowledge exchange.
Hi, everybody. Great to be here and excited about talking with you today about smoke-free movies.
Thanks, Robert. Andrea Kita is our other speaker, and she will be the first one up for our webinar. Andrea has been involved in municipal, regional, and provincial tobacco control programs since 1999. She is the Central West Tobacco Control Area Network Coordinator and co-chair of the Ontario Coalition of Smoke-Free Movies. Welcome, Andrea. Okay, I'm now going to actually hand this over to Andrea to begin the presentation. Andrea, if you can press star 7 to unmute your line, we should be able to hear you, because right now we cannot.
Thank you. I just unmuted.
Perfect.
Thank you, everyone. Looking forward to speaking with you as well. And we hope that today you will gain an understanding of the current evidence about exposure to on-screen tobacco in movies, as well an association of youth tobacco use behavior. We hope that you'll become familiar with the current Ontario-based evidence and initiatives at the local level to inform local planning and program development. All of this, of course, in 60 minutes. So let's begin. Next slide. I'm going to briefly introduce the topic of smoking in movies and provide context to the Ontario data that Rob will be presenting. To do this, I'm going to flag some key milestones with a focus in Ontario. However, please note that this is not an exhaustive summary, and I only have 10 minutes to begin. So we'll go back to 1927. Right from the beginning of the first talking pictures released, collaboration between Big Tobacco and Hollywood begins. This decade-long history of tobacco industry collaboration with Hollywood is well documented. I provided a snapshot here to a timeline that's available on Smoke-Free Movies website at the University of California, San Francisco, with a hyperlink. This is an excellent summary that provides the back and forth collaboration between Hollywood and Big Tobacco, as well as key milestones on this issue in the United States and around the world. The expertise and information and efforts of Stan Glantz and John Oplansky and others at the University of California, San Francisco are an amazing resource. Next slide, please. And while you're on that website, I encourage you to go and check the Go Deeper section. Here you will find a bibliography on all the research on smoking in the movies, with the most recent studies listed at the top. This information goes back to 1985, and there's a significant amount of published and gray literature on this issue. Next slide, please. So we'll move forward in time to post-Master Settlement Agreement after 1998. Many of you will know that the Master Settlement Agreement between the state's attorney general and the major domestic tobacco manufacturers in the U.S. included a provision in which manufacturers agreed not to prohibit paid tobacco product placement in movies. However, smoking in movies actually increased after this agreement. Evidence shows that smoking incidents increased in movies released after the Master Settlement Agreement in 1998, peaking in 2005. In response to this, U.S. Attorney Generals wrote letters to the MPAA and U.S. Film Studios, and this hyperlink provides information on smoke-free movies, UCSF, which gives a good correspondence of the back and forth between the attorneys generals. At the same time, the WHO endorses the goals of smoke-free movies, and World No Tobacco Day in 2003 brings attention to the issue of movies. Local, regional, provincial activities across Ontario begin, as well as internationally. Some of the activities in Ontario that continue today include training youth on this issue to give them the skills to take action, participating at the Toronto International Film Festival, highlighting tobacco in movies, generating earned media and public education annually in September, having public service announcements on this issue in cinemas and at local movie nights across communities, as well as online, and social media with Hooked by Hollywood, Facebook, and Twitter, providing Ontario new released movies weekly. This update provides both the Ontario rating and the tobacco status of movies, building on the information gathered by seensmoking.org, another key resource for your review. Next slide, please. Oh, please leave this slide. This is important information to provide. In 2005, in Ontario, the Ontario Tobacco Free Network, along with Dr. Stan Glantz, visited the Ontario Film Review Board to provide information on this issue, as well as information on options to limit the impact, including an 18A rating. The OTN and local youth delegates from public health units across Ontario visited the OFRB again in 2008. The result was that the OFRB had tobacco details observations added to their website. Next. A tobacco detailed observation is an observation that the OFRB members make on each movie. In Ontario, all movies for distribution or screening must be reviewed by the board and rated. And this is posted on their website for each movie, the rating classification and the detailed observation. These include observations related to sexual content, violence, language, and since 2008, tobacco. Next slide. So my slides aren't advancing. Are other people's advancing? Susan?
Sorry, is everyone seeing the which slide do you want me to be on right now, Zee?
Slide 10.
Okay, there we are.
So this is an image of the tobacco detailed observation that's available on the OFRB's website. It's also in the appendix of the report that Rob's going to mention. Slide 11, please.
Okay.
So this is an image of the Canadian Film Review Boards across Canada. We have people today on this webinar from every jurisdiction of these six provincial review boards. Thank you all for being here and your interest on this issue. Currently, no film review board in Canada includes tobacco as a criteria when rating movies. Some include tobacco as a criteria for content advisories, warnings, or observations, similar to what I just explained with the Ontario Film Review Board. However, in Canada, the majority of top-grossing movies consumed here are produced in the U.S. But we need a made in Canada, and specifically a made at the provincial level solution. And here's why. In the U.S., the MPAA rates movies voluntarily, and this is led by the studios that produce the movies. Some studios in recent years have enacted a voluntary policy rating movies with tobacco R. However, a review by the CDC states that the data shows individual movie company policies alone have not been shown to be efficient at minimizing smoking in movies. Studios with policies have had more tobacco incidences in 2013 than in 2010. So relying on the U.S. studios to solve the problem will not work for us here in Canada, because even if the MPA rated movies with R, this would not impact Canadians at the same levels that would impact those in the U.S. As provincial review boards rate the majority of U.S. R-rated movies youth-rated here, as you will see from the data that Rob is going to present from the last 10 years in Ontario. And just a reminder, as I mentioned, in Ontario, all movies rated for distribution and screening must be first classified by the OFRB. And I believe it's similar for other review boards across Canada. Next. So after 2008, we had a number of key reports come out, and all these are referenced in the bibliography I mentioned. The WHO released its first report on smoke-free movies from evidence to action in 2009, including four recommendations. In addition, in 2010, the Tobacco Vector Report from John Oplansky and Physicians for Smoke-Free Canada was released, and this was the first review of the information here with a Canadian lens. It included movie rating data for all movies released from 2004 to 2009 in the appendix for all six film review boards. As well, it talked about film subsidies across our country and the amount of tobacco impressions, as well as how this issue relates to the Framework Convention on Tobacco Control, of which Canada is a signatory. In 2011, the WHO updated its report with a second edition release, and this included a fifth recommendation. And if we just go to the next slide, I'll go through the five recommendations. Most of you will be familiar, but the first is to rate new movies with smoking adult-rated or R. In Ontario, this is equivalent to an 18A. This would be with the exception of when tobacco use is presented and unambiguously reflects the danger and consequences of the tobacco use or is necessary to represent smoking of a real historical figure. The second is to require strong anti-tobacco ads before movies, and this would be at the distributor's expense, regardless of rating, and all distribution channels. It's important to note that access points to movies is more than theater, but on-demand, online, Blu-ray, and DVD. The third is to require producers to certify on-screen that no one has been involved in the production of movies received anything in value for in consideration for using or displaying tobacco. The fourth is to require producers to stop identifying tobacco brands. And the fifth is to require the film or tobacco imagery assigned a youth rating to be ineligible for federal or provincial film subsidies. The Tobacco Vector Report that I mentioned earlier provides a good overview, as does information on the University of California, San Francisco's website in the bibliography I mentioned. Next slide. And I just wanted to flag that language is important, and we want to compare apples to apples. And so in Ontario and in other provinces across Canada, an 18A rating is what would be equivalent to an R rating in the U.S. Next slide. So in addition to the report from the WHO and the Canadian report of the tobacco vector, in Ontario here in 2010, the Ontario Scientific Advisory Committee with Public Health Ontario released a report with a number of recommendations for tobacco control in Ontario, two of which included requiring an adult rating for movies as well as ads before movies with tobacco. This was echoed by the Ontario Tobacco Strategy Advisory Group. And in 2011, the CDC issued a smoke-free movies fact sheet and numerous MMRs on this issue, that, including the fact sheet that was recently updated that Rob will speak to. In 2012, here in Ontario, Peel Public Health did a rapid review looking at what interventions will reduce the impact of smoking in movies to have on smoking behavior of youth. Recommendations included assigning an R rating, anti-smoking ads, as well as parental restrictions on viewing R-rated movies, translating to a lower risk for children and adolescents smoking. And in 2012, echoed in 2014, the U.S. Surgeon General included the topic of smoking in movies, the evidence, and need for action in her report. And this will also be reviewed by Rob. Next slide. So while all this evidence is gathering, in response to the reports and calls for action, the Ontario Coalition for Smoke-Free Movies was formed in 2011. More information about the coalition is available on the website, smokefreemovies.ca, as well as this issue. And I want to acknowledge all the coalition partners who are on this webinar today and who have been taking action on this issue for a number of years, from local public health units to tobacco control area networks, NGOs, and resource who receive resource center support as well. The coalition issued an Ipsos Reid poll in 2012, as well as OTRU provided a report on public opinion using CAMH monitor data, and both these are hyperlinked in this report for more information for you. But the results show that public support for action on this issue is high, and this is similar to polling that was done in the U.S., which is in the bibliography I mentioned at the beginning. So with all this information in hand, the Ontario Coalition for Smoke-Free Movies had a delegation visit the OFRB in 2012 to provide an overview of this information and talk about opportunities to limit this exposure. The result was the OFRB enacted a tobacco content advisory. Next slide. So in addition to the tobacco content advisory being posted online on the OFRB's website, similar to the detailed observations, the tobacco content advisory is also posted at the distribution channel of in-theater movies. When you purchase a ticket online or at an electronic kiosk at a movie theater, you would get a warning of these content advisories, which range from advisories on language, violence, sexual content, recommendation for young children or very young children, and now since 2012, tobacco use. And you'll see more about the frequency at which the OFRB applies this content advisory later in the webinar. And so before I turn it over to Rob to speak more about the evidence, is there any other questions?
Okay, so we have a few-minute break here in case there's anyone who has a question for Andrea about the content that she has so clearly provided. Just give a few minutes if you'd like to type something in the chat box. That's at the lower left side of your screen. There'll be another opportunity for questions for our presenters after Rob. So if there aren't any questions about the first part, I will hand the baton over to Robert Schwartz.
Thanks very much, Susan, and thanks, Andrea, for that great first part of the webinar. I think that you've laid out very clearly some of the history of what's going on. And what I'm going to do is really hit hard with the evidence. And I say hit hard because when I started this report, I have to say that I really was not a fan. So this is, I'm starting my presentation with a confession. And my confession is that I poo-pooed this whole notion of smoke-free movies. I thought that it was, I thought it was important, but really in the scope of tobacco control, not one of the more important initiatives to be looking at, period. Now I am a believer. The evidence is just so strong, and the impact of smoking or tobacco use in movies on youth is so incredibly high that I now believe that this is one of the more important things that tobacco control people need to be focusing on. I'll say one more thing before getting into the slides, and that's that I think it is imperative that the evidence be out there and spoken about over and over and over again. And that's because this is a tough issue for policy change. There are at least two very clear barriers to policy change when it comes to exposure to on-screen tobacco in movies. One is that it is not intuitive. Most people that I speak with, that I tell them I'm working on smoke-free movies, they say, what? And can it be that that has such a big influence on the uptake of smoking? People don't automatically make that association, and the evidence has to be put in front of them very clearly. And the second policy barrier that I see is that it reeks of censorship. And, you know, people really get their hair up when they think that anybody is thinking of censoring movies or other media. So I think it's an uphill battle, and I'm hoping that the evidence that I'm going to now present will help in that battle. So if any of you out there are not already convinced, you know, the Surgeon General's report, the recent Surgeon General report, really caps it. You know, there is no better authority on whether there is sufficient evidence than the Surgeon General of the United States. And the Surgeon General has stated very, very clearly what you see on the slide, that there is now sufficient evidence to conclude that there is a causal relationship. Okay, depictions of smoking in movies absolutely does cause the initiation of smoking among young people, period. Okay, so as a result, the Surgeon General goes further and makes recommendations that the Motion Picture Association of America, which is the group that has a voluntary rating system, eliminate smoking from all youth-related films. Okay, and that anything that has smoking in them receive an R rating. That would be an 18A rating rating here in Ontario. And the Surgeon General further quantifies what this would do. It would cause a 18% reduction in adolescent smoking. This is in the United States. That is substantial. If that's not enough for you, you know, look at these numbers from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. Okay, because of exposure to smoking in movies today, 6.4 million children will become smokers. 2 million of them will die prematurely from diseases caused by smoking. Okay, and again, looking at the solution that the Surgeon General has recommended, so giving an R rating, or in Ontario, what would be an 18A rating to future movies with smoking, is going to decrease by 18% the number of teen smokers, and will prevent in the United States 1 million deaths from smoking among children alive today. What are we waiting for? Yeah. So we were delighted when the Smoke-Free Movies Coalition approached us to produce this report, which has now gone out as a special report, is available on our website. The link is at the bottom of the slide. It's been there since May, and I want to acknowledge my co-authors, Dr. Alexei Babayan and Rita Luke, who did most of the work on this report. I encourage you to have a look at the full report and to use it as you might in your own work. We had two very simple aims. One is just to examine the number of incidents of on-screen movies, tobacco and movies that were released over the course of 10 years, and to estimate the impact of youth seeing that smoking in movies on smoking on the use of tobacco in Ontario. The method also is fairly straightforward. We took a sample. Well, these are all of the 1,434 top-grossing movies that were released to theaters during these years. That means movies that were in the top 10 for at least the period of 1 week. For each of those movies, what we did is we assessed how many times does tobacco use or implied use of tobacco occur in each of those movies, and what are the tobacco impressions? So tobacco impressions are those incidents multiplied by the paid admissions per movies. So we have an estimate of how many people in Ontario would have paid to see each of those 1,434 top-grossing movies. We simply multiply that number by the number of tobacco incidents in each movie, and we get the number of tobacco impressions. Fairly straightforward. So, and then in order to measure impact, we take this, what at first glance is unbelievable. Okay, the peer-reviewed literature has indicated very clearly at this point that the proportion of youth smokers that have started smoking as a result of seeing smoking in movies is 37%. So that means, in other words, that 37% of kids who start smoking are doing so because they saw smoking in movies. Now, that sounds incredible, and to me it was incredible when I first saw it, so I actually went into the studies, I looked at how those studies were done, and it's only then that I became convinced that this is the fact, because these are carefully controlled studies, and it's more than one. There are several studies now that have come up with estimates, but there's a range of estimates, and this it goes from some 25% up to 52% of youth smokers. So 37% is the number that is used in the United States and that we have adopted here. And so what we do in order to understand how many of those kids would actually have a premature death, how many of the kids who start smoking because they saw smoking in movies would have a premature death, we simply estimate it by the attributable risk estimate of the number of Ontario adolescent smokers. And that is 32% of those who start smoking. So here are the findings, finally. Of all those movies, there is depiction of tobacco in 818. So almost 60% of movies that were top-rated movies in Ontario over that 10-year period had depictions of movies in them. Now, here's the really shocking statistic. 86% of those movies that have smoking in them are legally available for youth to see in Ontario. So almost all the movies that have smoking in them are youth-rated. Quite unbelievable. Now, look down at the bottom of the slide. In the United States, with the voluntary measures that the MPAA has, only 54% of the movies that have to only. In comparison, it's low. It's still a higher number. It's still a high number, but 86% of movies that are youth that have tobacco in them in Ontario are youth-rated, compared to 54% in the United States. That's a very bad starting point. And in these movies, there are 26,850 tobacco incidents. Okay, in those 818 movies, 26,850 tobacco incidents. I mean, just do the math. That's a lot of tobacco being shown in those movies. And 85% of those incidents happen in those youth-rated movies, compared to only 42% in the United States. Finally, we get to the impressions. So the numbers are unbelievable. 8.1 billion impressions. So what are the impressions, just to remind us? This is the number of incidents multiplied by the number of people who have seen those movies in Ontario. Okay, 8.1 billion impressions of tobacco use in movies. Again, 86% of those in youth-rated movies. So, I could just stop there because I think that the evidence is so strong. There's just a ton of tobacco use being shown in movies that youth are seeing in Ontario. But let's see what are the effects of that. Well, the impact on youth. Over the 7 years, we estimate that on average, 13,241 current smokers in Ontario, aged 12 to 17, were recruited to smoking in a year. Okay, in 1 year, 13,000 current smokers, aged 12 to 17, were recruited to smoking because they saw smoking in movies. As a result, some 4,000 of these youth, 4,237 of these smokers, that became smokers because of smoking in movies, will die prematurely. Moreover, can you believe that this is actually quite likely an underestimate? Why? For two reasons listed here, and then I'll add another one. you know, firstly, that the Ontario rating system is less conservative than that in the United States. Okay, so that means that more youth are exposed to more on-screen tobacco use in Ontario than would be in the United States. So there's a lot more smoking being depicted here. So the 37% figure is probably low. And secondly, because in Ontario, as compared with the United States, smoking in movies is one of the very few opportunities that there are for promoting tobacco use amongst youth, because we have banned advertising, we've banned the display of cigarettes. We do still have it on the pack itself, but there isn't much else happening out there. So one of the few places where tobacco use is promoted is in movies. And the third reason is that we are talking here only about impressions that have to do with having seen movies in theaters. And we well know today that much of the viewing of movies does not occur anymore in theaters, but occurs on my daughter's computer, through various online ways to get it. It occurs on DVDs that some people still go to those places that we used to call video stores to look at. So for that reason, we are probably underestimating the number of youth who pick up smoking and who die a premature death as a result after seeing tobacco use in movies. Another sort of bothersome side issue that came up as we were doing this is that we looked at the Ontario Film Report labels that have to do with those detailed observations and content advisories that Andrea talked about earlier. And we found that the OFRB is issuing either a detailed observation or a content advisory on far fewer movies than the American raters indicate have tobacco in them. So many of those movies that have tobacco in them in Ontario are not being described as such by the Ontario Film Review Board. I know that we've tried to connect, and the Smoke-Free Coalition in Ontario has tried to collect with the OFRB to further understand this and to explore ways that perhaps that can be rectified moving forward. And I'm going to end with this. This is the scientific recommendation. We saw the recommendation of the Surgeon General in Ontario. We have the scientific recommendation of the Smoke-Free Ontario Scientific Advisory Committee that states very clearly the policy recommendation to require adult ratings, i.e. 18A in Ontario, for movies with any tobacco imagery.
Okay, we're going to hand the baton back to Andrea just to conclude, and then invite everyone to ask any questions to either of our presenters by typing into the box. So, Andrea?
Hi. So, we hope the information presented inspires you to get involved on this issue. And I'm going to highlight just a few ways to do so. And look forward to having the question and answer, hopefully identify a few others. So, the first would be to endorse the World Health Organization's 5 recommendations for action on this issue. Many of the people on this webinar are from organizations that have endorsed here in Ontario, and those are listed on smokefreemovies.ca. If you wish to add your endorsement, please contact me or visit smokefreemovies.ca. You would be joining over 43 organizations here in Ontario, including 27 local public health units, ALPHA, the Association of Public Health Units, and other provincial and NGO partners. You would also be joining organizations such as ASH New Zealand, the European Network for Smoking Prevention, and numerous organizations across the U.S., including NGOs such as the American Lung Heart Association, American Legacy Foundation. The WHO has endorsed, so has the U.S. Centers for Disease Control. as well as the Canadian Cancer Society, the BC Healthy Living Alliance, and the Ontario Lung Association. For those of you from provinces across Ontario, across Canada, please consider endorsing. As well, monitor this issue. Monitor the frequency of tobacco in movies in your provinces, as well as public opinion on this issue. And use the information already collected here in Ontario to build and raise public awareness, including your from across your colleagues, such as, you know, Rob had a light bulb moment on this issue recently. The general public, parents and youth need to understand the history of the tobacco industry in Hollywood, the frequency of tobacco in movies that are rated for children and teens, and the impact on youth smoking. We know that parents support policies that will protect their children from being addicted to tobacco products, and we need to get the word out there. And finally, please collaborate. Movies reach every corner of the world, and so much of our our collective efforts must do so as well to decrease exposure of tobacco in movies. I hope this webinar results in more actions across Canada, across North America, and around the world on this important issue. So please contact me if you have ideas of how we can collaborate. So we're going to turn it over to some questions and answers, and hopefully we'll hear from you soon.
Okay, so lots of great information, and I think both of you have sold me on the evidence, and I'd like to just go towards the comments and the questions for we do have 15 minutes to take those, so please keep typing in the chat box. One of our participants said this evidence, I'm assuming, makes sense to me. 35% of youth smokers are likely to start smoking because of on-screen smoking. Given what the Truth Campaign presented recently here in Ontario at the Young Adult Community of Practice meeting, they noted that that celebrities that young adults place a high level of fame, value on fame, which could relate to celebrities being role models for them. So that's a great point, and maybe what's underlying some of these huge numbers. I guess this is Andrea. You mentioned that Peel Public Health Unit had completed a rapid review in 2012 on this topic. Could you restate their findings again?
Sure, and I'll put this report is available online, so I'll put it in the chat box answers in a minute. But the review supported recommendations for action related to assigning an R rating to or 18A rating in Ontario to movies with tobacco imagery, having any smoking ads before movies with tobacco, and having parental restrictions on viewing R-rated movies, and these would translate into a lower risk for children and adolescents smoking. So I'll put the hyperlink to the full report here in the chat box.
Thanks for that. So Rob and Andrea, can you comment on the impact of smoking in movies and cessation? Also, did you have any information on initiation and the images of e-cigarettes in movies? Thanks for this illuminating presentation.
Okay, so I can start with that one. There is evidence about the effects of smoking in movies on cessation. It's negative. There have been studies that are done that demonstrate that for smokers, regular smokers who are not trying to quit, and for smokers who are trying to quit, the depiction of smoking in movies is a cue, and it makes it much more difficult not to smoke. I think that's quite clear, and that information could be supplied if necessary. It's too early, I think, to know about the impact of e-cigarettes in movies. We know that this is a growing concern, but it also builds into the whole question about all of the research questions about e-cigarettes, and maybe some people might claim it's actually better to depict e-cigarettes in movies than not. And I'm not going to get into that argument. O'True and others are now funded by the Ministry of Health and Long-Term Care through the Health System Research Fund to conduct research on e-cigarettes, and this is a question that might be addressed there as well.
Andrew, anything to add?
I echo what Rob has said, but I'd also like to note that there's been some recent media attention to the issue of e-cigarettes in movies. The Wall Street Journal did an article about a month ago talking about SmokeStick, which is an Ontario-based e-cigarette company, and their promotion of product placement activities in movies. And so I can also put a link to the Wall Street Journal article on the chat box here for people to look at. But it doesn't seem like e-cigarette companies are being shy about wanting to promote their products in movies. And so that's going back to following, I guess, the behavior of the tobacco industry for the last number of decades, using movies as a way to promote their products.
Thanks for that. So you have clearly provided lots of evidence between smoking in movies and youth uptake. However, I'm interested to know if there's evidence showing that the rating change will work to reduce youth uptake. Seems like, as you mentioned, youth are watching in theaters less and online more, so it makes me wonder what impact a rating change will have, or if there's something that might be more effective.
So firstly, the evidence indicates a dose response effect. So the less exposure to smoking in movies, the better. So assumedly, youth still see a proportion of their movies in theaters. Secondly, if there is a youth rating on movies, it may actually, through adult supervision, decrease the viewing of those movies in other media. Thirdly, by requiring youth ratings on such movies, the idea would also be that those who produce the movies would be less likely to have tobacco in movies because they don't want to have a youth rating that automatically decreases their box office revenues. Certainly, another policy option would be to, you know, try and ban tobacco use in movies altogether or to further restrict it.
Okay, if there are no other questions for our presenters have a couple questions for you. So if those of you who are on the link and the chat box could type there. Rob?
Yeah, so I was actually wondering, I'm hopeful that many of you out there are now working on smoke-free movie initiatives or perhaps will be in the near future. And I'm interested in knowing if there is any additional evidence that would be useful to you in doing your work in this area.
Okay, so we have a question for the field. What additional evidence would be useful to you in doing your work in smoke-free movies?
And, you know, maybe as a tag on to that, you know, are there ways that we could make the evidence that we already have more palatable or more useful for you as you perhaps go out to your communities or to your boards of health or to your supervisors to persuade them of the need for action here?
Okay, one suggestion was evidence on recent media on e-cigarettes and the movies.
Okay, we can start looking into that, certainly start tracking it together with the Smoke-Free Movie Coalition. I'm wondering if anybody has any initiatives that they're already undertaking that they would want to share.
Okay, so a couple questions there. If you have additional evidence you'd like, or if you have some initiatives that you'd like more people to hear about, if you can include them in the chat box or email Andrea afterwards. They can be added to the resources list.
And any further comments on the 37% figure? All right, so is that credible? Can you support that when you're talking to your boards of health, to your communities, et cetera?
Okay, so that's another question. How what is your reaction when Rob reads about this rate and the evidence, 37%? Okay, so one participant has said, besides a change in ratings, are there other evidence-based actions public health units can take? Now, we don't have anyone, Lorraine Fry wasn't able to join us today, but Andrew, do you know any answers to that question, or could that be a follow-up?
Well, I think it's raising awareness of the public on this issue, as well as decision-makers, the media, our colleagues. Like, I just want to reiterate that, as Rob mentioned earlier, people are not aware of the history of the tobacco industry in Hollywood and the reason for and the history of having tobacco placement, product placement in movies. And they're not aware of the frequency of tobacco in movies rated for children and teens, especially here in Ontario where it's so high. And they're not aware of the impact and the scientific evidence about youth smoking initiation related to movies. So we need to increase parent and understanding. We need to increase the public understanding. Parents and our communities support policies that protect children and from becoming addicted to tobacco users. And so we need to raise the alarm about smoking in movies.
If I can just add, since I have the mic, I recently went to a high school film night for grade 12 films and of graduating filmmakers, young filmmakers, and was shocked to see at least a third of the movies had teens smoking in those student film movies being shown at a Toronto District School Board film night. So, again, there may be opportunities to work with schools. It was one of my thoughts. I don't think they're as aware of this issue as they could be. Chris has asked, is there any work going on about musical clips and tobacco use? That's a major youth attraction at the moment, so music videos, music events, et cetera.
I'm not aware. Andrea, do you know of any?
I'm not aware of studies that I can reference, but I do believe there is some monitoring going on about music videos and television and other forms of entertainment media. But I think the issue of movies is the most well laid out and well researched and of all the entertainment media right now that we have the information about.
So I'm going to relate to that, and then Jeff commented also. Jeff commented that he'd like to see more research on smoking in television, saying that in some of Netflix's series, like House of Cards and Orange is the New Black, that there's a lot of depicting of tobacco use. So I think that there's a lot more room to do some more work around these, and our colleagues in California are really the pioneers, and we will be in touch with them, and I'm happy to convey any information that we learn through that. I think there's probably room for more Ontario work, continued Ontario work that goes beyond movies and looks at things like Netflix, television, music clips. Movies has been up front, but I think with time it's probably going to decrease.
And I believe the program in New York State, Reality Check, also addresses some of the wider entertainment media issue of tobacco promotion. So there could be some information there to track down.
Have you got that link in your resources, Andrea?
No, but I will look for it and put it in.
Okay. Thank you for that. We had a comment, it would be helpful to have a one-pager in promotional items with evidence that can be used as a youth appealing handout or giveaways during events and campaign initiatives. So, Rob, you asked how it would be useful to get the evidence out. There's one suggestion from one of our participants.
Absolutely. So with partners, we're happy to contribute to making that available, for sure.
Okay, if
there... I would encourage people to go to smokeforemovies.ca. On the homepage, there's a brief public service announcement that engages young people to provide us information, as well as information on that website. It's something we can look at talking with our coalition partners as well. And we have a number of TCANs working together here in Ontario looking at developing materials that would reach parents on with these important messages. So stay tuned for that.
Okay, another question. When sharing this evidence with parents and other community members, do you have recommendations as to what they would be able to do to help move this issue forward? So what can parents and other community members do?
Sure. So if you go, again, to smokefreemovies.ca, you'll see a parent tab for that page at the far right. And there is a number of resources for parents, including a public service announcement, an infographic, more information to come. But parents can be key ambassadors on this issue. If they understand the information, they have an ability to pass it on to other parents and help increase overall understanding of families on this issue. As well, they can talk with their children about what they're seeing in movies, and they can also give their voice to decision makers about this. There's numerous ways to do that, various petitions online, talking to their elected officials.
Thanks for those comments, Andrea. So we have another question, are there relationships between youth resilience and smoke-free movies and smoking uptake? For example, are resilient youth better able to navigate the movies they see and the messages in them versus those who aren't?
Yeah, I can't be 100% sure, but I believe that I recall at least one of the studies indicating that the answer to that question is yes. More resilient youth are better able to navigate those movies that have smoking in them. On the other hand, the research does certainly show that seeing smoking in movies increases susceptibility to smoking. So that measure, that specific measure of susceptibility has been used.
Okay, great. And the Southwest TCAN has created an infographic that's appealing to youth with evidence, and it's posted on smokefreemovies.ca for anyone's reference. So thanks for pointing that out, someone from Middlesex, London. All right, so a number of people have thanked both our speakers, and I'm going to do the same now to thank everyone who joined our webinar today, and a special thanks to our two presenters, Andrea and Rob, for their valuable contributions. Following this webinar, you'll be sent an email that will contain a link to the evaluation survey. If everyone could kindly take a few moments to complete the evaluation, it would be appreciated because your input will help us improve our webinars and host future learning opportunities to meet your needs. Thank you all again for joining our session today. Have a nice day.